I should begin by introducing, this is Pastor Riaz Sadiq from Lahore, Pakistan. He's with us for the weekend. He'll be sharing some in a few minutes and then more extensively this evening. Pastor Riaz is the head of Good News Ministries, which is a coalition of 15 churches that are ministering in Lahore. There are more than 500 churches in Lahore. About 50 of those churches have either buildings or public meeting places. The rest of those churches, so 450 churches, are house churches, meeting in individual homes, small gatherings of believers who are asking God to use them to bring the gospel to the nation of Pakistan. And I would like you, and over the course of our worship today, to enter into prayer with me, to enter into prayer with our brother here today, to ask that God would do something through his church in Pakistan that would cause the nations to marvel. And let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to shuffle a little bit here. I've asked Riaz if he would read Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 21 this morning. I'd like you to hear this read by a man who speaks very good English, but nonetheless has a little bit of a Pakistani accent. Luke chapter 10, I've entitled this section today, The Great Commission from the Gospel of Luke.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them to two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the host, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter the house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, where peace will rest on him, if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the workers deserve his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its street and say, 'Even the dust of your town that stick to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more because bearable on that day of Sodom than for the town. Woe to you, Kerosene. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the miracle that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you, listen to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's okay. God bless you.
Good. Thank you very much. Praying, going, saying. I think we can summarize this passage, this important episode in the life of in the course of Jesus' ministry, in terms of these three words. I would exhort you today to hear the calling of our Savior to press his claims. It's called the Great Commission of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus chose 12 apostles, but now he was mobilizing his other followers to go ahead of him into, the passage says, every town and place where he was about to go. It's an interesting thing that when we are clinging carefully and paying careful attention to the scriptures, we're standing on the authority of the apostles. But our passage today isn't about the apostles. It says here, he chose others. 72 others. How many people are in this room today? I haven't counted, but we're not that many over. Probably about, Jan's over there, she's maybe 70, give or take. But think about it. Here's Jesus mobilizing his church to go where? To the places he was about to go. The question I have for you today, is Jesus coming to our town? Now, physically, he is one place. He's at the right hand of his Father in heaven. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, who's like the wind, and by the way, is also omnipresent. That means he's in lots of places at the same time. And this is why we need to go forth in the power of the Spirit. Because Jesus is going places. Jesus is coming to Topeka. I believe that. I know you believe that. How will he do it? Brother, Jesus is coming to Pakistan in many, many ways. If he is doing those things, he will demonstrate his power in three things. The affections of his people, the afflictions of his people, and the announcements of his people. Three things that are referred to in this passage. Point number one, Jesus lays claim to our affections. Here's what Jesus does. Is he takes some of those who had been trained in his school of discipleship, and he sends them out two by two to face very trying circumstances. He sends them out. They are, if you will, temporary or short-term missionaries. We had Jonah down in short-term missions in Enid this summer. It was hot. They knocked on a lot of doors. They also had a lot of fun. As I think these guys probably did. They went throughout the land where they were, announcing some things. But not only doing that, notice where Jesus begins. Verse 2. Now these guys are going, and he tells them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, the workers were going into the harvest, and yet as they're going into the harvest, what are they praying? Lord, raise up workers, maybe from those whom we will minister to. Continue to confirm the call to laboring in your kingdom in my own heart. And by the way, in the guy, remember they went two by two. So I have already prayed for Riaz that God would confirm and use him in the work. You need to get to know Riaz as much as you can. Riaz has spoken before tens of thousands of people. Translating for some American pastors. He's done his own preaching. Last week, he was speaking to a very large missions conference down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We need to pray, though, that God would continue to raise up laborers in his harvest field. The point here, point one, Jesus was not merely content to know God or to attract followers. Now, Jesus did know God. He was God. But he was also attracting people to become followers of his ministry. But it didn't stop there. Rather, Jesus was teaching his followers to long for and pray for their own usefulness and the usefulness of those to whom they would minister in the kingdom of God. Some of you have watched Thomas the Tank Engine. And one of the things that Thomas and Percy and Henry and all of these other guys, the thing that makes them joyful is when they are really useful engines. Now, some of you, this reference may be going over your head, and I'm sorry if that's the case. You have to watch Thomas the Tank Engine. But Thomas is a really useful engine. Are you a really useful disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you use your tongue to bless? Or sometimes, I know I am, I'm silent when I ought to speak. Jesus lays claim to the affections of his apostles as he's teaching them to pray and working in their hearts. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe that's part of what they were praying. Secondly, Jesus was teaching them to count the cost of discipleship. He was teaching them to pray Jesus' plan for laborers because, friends, laborers suffer. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Laborers cost money. Laborers must be prayed for, must be planned for, must be given to, must be invested in. And some of you, God is calling to grow in your labor for the kingdom of God. Some of you have been giving a little, and God is calling you to give more. Some of you are giving a lot, and God may be calling you to make sacrificial giving for the cause, for the mission that God has laid before all of his church throughout all of his world. What is it that fuels missions? Point three, worship is the fuel of missions. This, by the way, is the opening line from a book written by Pastor John Piper. He begins his book with this amazing statement. Worship is the fuel of missions. The way the gospel is the fuel of the Christian life, worship, corporate worship, together as the body of Christ with the Holy God in our presence is the place that fuels missions. When the church in Pakistan worships together, they are motivated to speak the truth of God in some very hostile environments. Pastor Riaz has told me about some of the experiences he's had as Christians who have been in court have been killed by more radical elements of the culture in his land. These things are real. I hope that our brother's presence today makes these things, which can be rather theoretical for us, a little more real. Maybe part of the reason there's so little persecution in the United States is because We don't speak when it's not nice to speak. Point number two today. Jesus not only lays claim to our affections, Jesus lays claim to our afflictions. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Friends, what do lambs experience when they are surrounded by wolves? It's not pretty. Jesus is sending us not to jihad. Jesus is sending us to evangelism. Jesus is sending us to suffer. Jesus says, because I am sovereign, I may well call you to suffer. That may involve physical health afflictions in your life. Some of you suffer under real afflictions, but some of you may be called to suffer for the glory of Jesus among the nation that he's called us to. Listen to the evangelistic command of Jesus. Verse 3, go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. A second point here. He says, verse 4, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. Go to the place where I am going to be going shortly and speak my message there. Go. Now, there's a lot involved in going. When you go, you leave your home. You leave what's behind to go to the new place. You leave what's comfortable to go to the awkward place. Riaz left the place where they speak Urdu and came here. And he's been speaking a lot of English in the last few weeks. It's a remarkable thing to go. It's a difficult thing. It's a costly thing. It's a thing that involves stress and perseverance and maybe even suffering. Point two, this ambitious plan. The ambitious plan God has to bring His gospel to the nations requires simple living and willing suffering. Don't take your purse. Live on a budget. Trim back so that you might invest in those who are going. Secondly, think ahead of time about the potential calling to suffering. God doesn't call all of us to suffer. I've talked with several of you in recent weeks and we've talked about, you know, it's great to be an American. It's great to live in a land that has one of the freest economies on the face of the earth, that has some of the most just laws on the face of the earth. We are blessed, friends. Are you ready to suffer if you're called to it? I was humbled as I heard a pastor not too long ago speak of this calling to suffering right ahead of his call to his congregation. For some of them in whose hearts the Spirit, it had to be the Spirit who was calling you to this, but to dedicate yourself for foreign missions in another country in the next 3 years, if God would give the funding. Come up tonight. This is what he was saying. Come up tonight and close on the work that God's been doing in your heart in the last number of weeks. Point number three. Regardless of where, regardless of the particulars of how, when your will is to do His will, He will work powerfully through you. Why? Because every believer is filled with the Spirit of God. And we're called to live in the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. The Spirit is the power that God is using in the world to press forth His claims. Point one, His claim to our affections. Point two, His claim to our afflictions. And this leads us to the verbal part, the part that involves your tongue. Jesus lays claim to our announcements. We studied in class this morning. It's providential how God lines these things up. A fallen tongue. the tongue that is not under the guidance and power and discipline of God is a deadly poison, setting on fire the course of nature. Think about, have you heard about Charles Taylor, formerly the dictator of Liberia? Things he said, policies he enacted, resulted in the destruction of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. He's on trial in The Hague for war crimes against humanity today. Things he said brought destruction to his nation. Think about the words that are being spoken by various politicians and statesmen today. Words that build, but also words that destroy. What announcements, what pronouncements, what authoritative message does God intend for us to speak? Well, He gives us some here. Verse 5, I would call your opener. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Now, this was not a planned illustration. Riaz did not know we were even going to study this passage today. But when Riaz walked into my home yesterday, he stood about 3 feet inside the door and he said, could I bless this house? And being the very charismatic gentleman that he is, he raised his hands and he proceeded, God, bless this home and this family. Bless Pastor Johnston and his wife. And he didn't know all my kids' names yet, but all of these children that he had just met. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Amen. And then we went on. And I was thinking, wow, do I have that mindset when I go into a house? That this house would become a strategic center in the work that God is doing in the world. Have you blessed your houses, fathers? Have your children heard you bless your house? Has this building been blessed? I would ask you to pray with me that our ministry together would be blessed September 1st. That this would not be just another service, but that this would be God coming near to us in the preaching of His Word, in the exhortation you will receive, I will receive that evening, that God would do something in us and through us to the glory of our Savior. So there's the opener. Look at verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. This is what I call the expectation. The expectation is really smart people probably won't get it. And really simple people probably will. Children will get it. PhDs may not, or it will at least take a lot longer. We were walking through the mall yesterday and we were talking about, you know, I'd ask the question, well, what can we learn about ministry to Muslims? One of the things Pastor Riaz told me, he said, it takes a long time. Don't push it. Show love. Show respect and honor. Listen when they speak to you from their religious sentiments. That will earn you the right someday down the road to speak the truth of Jesus. Note your opener and expectation and stick to your message. Look at what it says here. Verse 7, stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they get you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Verse 9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. One of the things that I'm learning that God is pressing in on me is the need to speak about the kingdom. I don't quote the whole Lord's Prayer too much, but the part of the Lord's Prayer I find myself quoting more and more. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the other blessings that God has in store will be given to you as well. If you have the kingdom, you'll get all the bonuses. But if you do not have the kingdom, you have nothing. So point number two, announce the kingdom of Christ. And don't shy away from hard words. Look at verse 11. Imagine saying this to someone in our modern context. Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. There's words of judgment here. If you will not receive the messengers of Jesus, all I have for you is words of hardness, words of warning. Repent or perish. Jesus said in another sermon. Point number three, preach the message of repentance that Jesus did. Look at verse 13. These words became much more personal for me after walking the streets of Chorazin with Betsy in Israel this past January. Chorazin, he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, two unbelieving villages far away, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, Capernaum is the headquarters of Jesus' ministry. Capernaum has heard over and over and over and over again the teachings of Jesus. Capernaum had become famous because that's where Jesus was teaching. You, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No. You will go to the depths. And for centuries, the city of Capernaum ceased to exist. Much of that in the wake of Muslim invasions in the Middle Ages. He who listens to you, 72, listens to me, says Jesus. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. On whose behalf do you speak? Do you merely share your opinion? Or do you announce the message of heaven? This is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. So, Jesus lays claim to our affections in our praying. Jesus lays claim to our afflictions in our going. Jesus lays claim to announcements in our saying. Consider these things. I've asked if Riaz would come now, and he has a message that he would like to share with us as well from Luke chapter 10.
Which he has read and preached, Luke chapter 10. Here, Jesus sent 72 more people in addition to 12. And he said, go and preach the gospel. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus forbid the disciples to go to other nations, to Gentiles. And in Matthew chapter 28, he orders them to go to all nations. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, he said, go to all nations. Mark chapter 16, he gave a great commission and said, go to all creatures. In Matthew chapter 10, he says, don't go to Gentiles. Why? The Muslims and those who are against the Bible, they think that there is a contradiction. They think at one verse Jesus forbids his disciples to go to other nations, and in other verses he says go to other nations. Why? Actually, that was their training period when he said don't go. That was their period to learn more and more. And they spent more than 3 years with Jesus. And when they have learned, they have been well trained, then he said, go to all nations. This is a great commission Sunday. There are a lot of commandments in the Bible. One is love each other. This is a great commission. But the term great commission is used just for us to go to other nations to preach the gospel. How can we reach the nations? How can we go to other nations and preach the gospel? But let me say first why. Why we should go? Why should we preach the gospel? I have just 10 minutes or 12 minutes. I don't know, will I be able to explain or not in just a few minutes, but I think I would be able to say something. Why we should go to other nations? Number one, why should we go? Number one is Great Commission, because this is an order. In army, we say order is order. And this is the order, a great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to go. Therefore, we should go. Why we should go? Because, can anybody repeat? Why should we go? Because this, do you don't speak in the church? Why should we go? Because this is the great commission. C, commission. Number two, C. The condition of the people compels us to go. Number one C is the commission, great commission. Number two C is the condition of the people. People, they are on the destination of death. They are lost in sin. And they are involved in immoralities. They are involved in drugs, sexual immoralities, and other sins. Their destination is hell. Devil is taking them to hell. Satan loves the people. What did I say? I said Satan loves the people. God is love. But I'm saying Satan loves the people. Why? He does not want to go to hell alone. He wants to take the people with them, with him. He loves them. He wants to take them. He wants to live with them. And in his love is destruction. He wants to take them to hell. Therefore, think that the harvest is too much. People are going with Satan. Satan is taking them to hell. Therefore, we should go. Number one is commission. Number two is the condition. And number three, C, is that we have compassion and concern. Therefore, we should go. Jesus has compassion and concern for the people. And that compassion and concern is imparted in our life from Jesus. Therefore, we have to go. Because we love others. Jesus said, love the people. If we love, we cannot see people going towards destruction. Jesus is coming soon. Number four is the second coming. Jesus is coming soon. Therefore, as the kingdom of God is near, we have to do this work. We have to go to other nations to save them, to preach the gospel among them. Now, let me conclude, because too much time is needed. Now, why? I have told you why we have to go. Because people are involved in sin. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and this is a great commission to reach, and we have no time. There is urgency. Satan is doing his work like I can say, he's doing overtime. He's working overtime because he knows that his work is going to be closed. There is no time for him because Jesus is coming, and we don't have time. Jesus is coming soon. We have to do it. Does anybody know that how many days he will live? We don't know. Therefore, this is the time we have to reach the nations. We have to reach the nation. Now, how? How? There are many ways. Many ways we can reach the nations. We can reach the people with the gospel. Number one, we can share verbally by conversation, one-to-one. We can tell people that Jesus Christ has died for you. He has shed his blood on the cross so that you can be saved. This is verbal or by conversation, one by one. We can talk to the people. Number two, we can preach the gospel on the platform like I am doing. Number three is that we can give our testimony. How I was saved, how I became a Christian. Number four, we can distribute the literature. By media, we can reach the nations. By sending text message, we can give sermon. By telephone, we can call and let the people know that Jesus is coming soon. We can have fellowship with the people and let them know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We can make people friend. We can make them friend so that we can share Jesus Christ. We can preach on television. We can use radio. We can use media. And we can give to nations. We can give our finances. We can give our dollars so that gospel is preached. In the early church, although every believer was involved in evangelism, because evangelism is not just for the pastor. Just pastor is not supposed to do the evangelism. Every believer has to do the evangelism. Paul, while he was writing to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 5, he said, do the work of an evangelism. Do the work of evangelist. Timothy was not the evangelist by title. In Bible, in Ephesians, there are fivefold ministries. And Timothy was not fit in this fivefold ministry. He was overseer or superintendent of the church, and Paul asked him, I can say, suggested him, ordered him to work do the work of an evangelist. So, work of evangelism is not just the pastor. Every member has to stand with pastor to do the work of evangelism. You can support other churches by giving your funds. In early church, although every believer was involved in evangelism by speaking, by talking, by giving testimony, but they were also giving. Whatever they could give, they were giving. And it's written there that they brought their donations and offerings and they put that before the foot of the apostles, in their feet. What does it mean? When they were giving their donation, they were thinking, it's nothing. It is just like the dust of the feet of the apostles. Our money is nothing, but it can do too much. So we can give. Something more. There are a lot of things we can do for evangelism. You can pray. You can pray for your pastor. You can pray for the evangelist. You can pray for other nations. You can pray for the missionaries. And you can pray for those who are in danger, in the death risk, and they are preaching the gospel. Prayer. Prayer can change, make changes. And there are all, more ways to, by using that ways, we can reach the nations. You can send someone. You can pay. You can pay the fee for those students who are not able to pay, and you can send them to Bible school or seminary. In this way, you are involved in Great Commission, in fulfilling the Great Commission. And you can also give Good News Ministries of Pakistan. You can also give. There are so many pastors and evangelists, those who are in need of your financial aid. God bless you. I don't have much time. I have about 12 lessons on the heading of evangelism. Biblical mandate of evangelism. And I have preached just 25% of lecture number one. God bless you.
And let's close together in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you've made a big world. And thank you that you've given us a big mission in this world. Lord, I thank you for my brother. And Lord, we look forward to how you will use us, how you will use each one of us in the work, in the short time that we have in this world. Lord, use our tongues. We dedicate our tongues to you. Lord, we say that we are willing to face long nights, difficult things. Lord, by your grace, that we're willing to give our lives, that your gospel might go forth in this world. Lord, show us how to be like Esther. Lord, you said it could be that you came for such a time as this. And if you keep silent, God will raise up salvation from another place. But Lord, we pray that you would use us to be a part of this work that you have placed before your church. Lord, no matter what language, no matter what denomination, Lord, you have given us this commission. Show us how to engage in it, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.